Well, good morning, and the kiddos, the grade school kids, are going to stay up here with us today, so we're glad that you're here, and that's the lesson, if you're a guest with us, that's the lesson that our kids would have been chatting about downstairs, and we are so thankful for all the kids that the Lord has brought to us, and then those that invest in the lives of our children, and so those of you who do, thank you so much for all that you do each week. We're so thankful for you, and glad that we get to be together this morning. So we just got back, by just, I mean just, like last night, we got back from a two-week mission trip to Uganda, Africa, and the Lord did incredible things, and we were just so thankful to be a part of it and just watch the hand of God work in different ways. And so this morning, as we get started, our time today is going to mainly be spent sort of tracing what the Lord did during the time we were there in Uganda. And to help with that, I would like to ask Ben and Cameron to come on up and join me on stage, because they're going to help me out. I know Kevin mentioned this just a little bit ago, but be in prayer for Tyla and the Bird family as her father passed away during the night. And I told Ben, I said, Ben, man, if you need to take a break and just go be with your family, he said, no, I would like to share. I still want to speak and share what the Lord has done. So I'm thankful for these guys. And so I would like to just start, let them kind of share maybe their perspective on their trip and how the Lord used them. Let me just tell you this before that, I give it over to them. They did an incredible job. It was, you know, Ben didn't even know he was going until like a week before the trip, and that was a whole God thing how that worked out. And Cameron had never done anything like this before, and the Lord just used these two guys in some really cool ways. They made you guys really proud, except one time. So I'll just to get you guys rolling. So one of the first things I say in the training is, all right, guys, if we're in the villages, like we go deep, deep, deep in the villages, and it's like you can't eat the food there. Like you can eat the food in the guest house, that's fine. But when we're way out there, like guys, just don't do it. Like you'll see street vendors with chicken on a stick and different things. Like just don't do it. So we were sitting out there one day, and some sweet ladies that were near the church had brought some food to us. We were sitting there taking a lunch break, and they brought us some like food, some beans and rice and stuff, and we did not want to be offensive. And so I went to go get one of our partners there, who's a Ugandan pastor, to go sweetly tell them, hey, and usually what they say is, hey, the American stomachs can't handle our food, something like that, just to let them know that they won't, you know. So the food's there, and I was like, guys, hang on, don't do anything. And so I go out to go and get the pastor, and I come back, and these two guys are going to town on the food. They got their bowl, and they're just rolling with it. And I'm like, guys, what are you doing? And they looked up at me like, is this, should I not do this? Like, is this not a good thing? You know, they're just, you know. Now, in Ben's defense, he actually didn't know he was going, and so he wasn't in the training. I don't know what your excuse is, but yeah, you saw Ben eating it, so you're like, it's got to be good. They did some incredible things this week. One more thing before they go is, so each of them had opportunity to share the gospel, share their testimonies and stories. I told Cameron, I said, listen, I know it was his first time. I said, listen, man, I'm not just going to throw you out there. Like, I'm not just going to, like, throw you under the bus and say, hey, here you go. Like, I'm not going to do that. Then, literally, the very first day, he goes with my dad to one of the prisons, and I'm not there. And so my dad's like, hey, Cameron, get up here and share your testimony in front of the whole prison. And Cameron's like, what? This was not a part of the thing. But he did. And he shared, and it was really, really cool. And then the church that we helped plant at Hope Valley about 5 years ago, every single year that we go back, they say, you know, I have to be there because they want me to preach and present to the church. And so this year, when we got to the church, I gave just a real short, like, encouraging word, like not a full sermon. And I said, guys, I'm not going to preach the message today because I brought someone from America from our church who's studying to be a pastor. And I said, today, in front of you guys, he's going to preach his very first message. And they exploded. Like, they erupted their, yeah. I mean, they were just like, they were so excited that Ben preached his very first sermon in front of them in Uganda, and he did an awesome job. So, all right, why don't you guys just give him a snapshot, whatever you want to say.
Well, hello, I'm the curly-headed guy, right? As Kevin said before we left. I wasn't here to be able to see that, but I watched it online. I think George should be listening from the trip online, so hey, George, I promise I'd give him a shout out. The trip was really cool. It was my first missions trip. Not the first time outside of the United States, but it was definitely a unique experience. My favorite part was definitely going to the schools with the younger crowd that we had. There was about five of us. Jared ended up just letting us go without him, without any other pastor or anything, and we were preaching to primary and secondary school kids, which is pretty much middle school to high school, up to like 20 years old. So it was just really cool to be able to see the younger generation there, very hungry for the Lord, and just seeing how many people gave their lives to Christ was just a testimony in of itself. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Ben, you want to?
And Cam, he did a fantastic job this week. It was awesome to see just everyone moving, but Cam especially, just, I remember him saying how nervous he was and just like, okay, I don't want to do much. But then, dude, he just, like, God just used him. It was so cool. And he's also, I think he's feeling a little sick this morning, so just be in prayer for him as bodies are kind of getting adjusted to just everything. But, so I guess I'll start from 2 weeks before the trip. If you would have told me that I was going to be in Uganda, Africa, I would have laughed in your face and said you're crazy. And but I remember sitting down with a couple of y'all and talking about missions trips this year and just saying, look, like, I'm going to put that on hold this year, getting ready for college and everything. And so then Jared was like, okay, Uganda, you want to come? And I really did think he was kind of crazy at first, but God wanted me in Uganda, and that's where I was. And it was so cool just to be a small part of this team and small part of God just using us. And it was really cool. I want to share a verse with you all this morning that was kind of on the forefront of my mind in Africa and was able to see played out through the entire trip. It's Ephesians 3:20. Let me pull it up. And verse 21 as well. It says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we could ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church in Christ Jesus throughout generations, forever and ever. Amen. And that's what happened this week. I don't know how to describe it. We have all these pictures of just the people and how awesome and just God moving. And that's something we couldn't do. We can't do that ourselves. So just to be a small part of that, it was incredible. And I want to thank you all for your prayers as well. Over the trip, we saw God go before us in countless ways. And that was awesome, just being like, whoa, like, when does that, like, ever happen, like, ever? Like, I hadn't seen that before. And one time in particular, myself, I love soccer. So all week I was like, let's do this. Like, I'm going to go. I'm going to play soccer. I'm going to get destroyed, but it's going to be great. And I got destroyed, but it was great. And so in Uganda, they're very poor. And they had this rubber ball that they were playing with, and we were like, okay, let's go. This is the opportunity. We're going to play soccer with them. But before that, at the start of the day, we had been taking soccer balls with us all throughout the schools to give to the kids because they love soccer, and we wanted to bless them with that. But for whatever reason, we were like kind of stressing, or I was at least, like we had to figure out where the balls were going. Like, do we have enough balls for this school and this school and this school? And then it turns out, like, we brought one extra ball that day. Just like, we don't know where this ball is going to go. We'll probably just bring it back. But let's just bring it, just for whatever reason. And so we're out there, we're eating lunch, and we're playing soccer with these kids, and somebody kicks the ball into a tree, and it pops. And we immediately, all the faces on there was just, like, dropped, because that was probably the only ball that they had. And so I was sitting there, and we're like, oh, man. And then all of a sudden, I think Cameron was like, dude, we have an extra ball in the van right now. And we were like, what? No way. And so, we were able to just bless him with the ball. And it's the little things like that, but there was also some pretty incredible things that happened as well. And like I said, it's hard to describe it, but so you'll just have to go yourself. And yeah, it was really cool to be a part of. And then one more thing I did want to share with you all. As you know, my grandfather, Joseph Keaton, he came a couple times, and I know many of you might have known him. He did pass away last night around, I think, 3 a.m., but we were kind of expecting it. But I want to encourage you, we know he is in the presence of the Lord this morning, and we are so thankful for the time we had, and we're rejoicing that he is with the Lord. So thank you all for your prayers, and continue to be in prayer just for my family, my mom, and everyone as we are going through this time of mourning. But yeah.
All right. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
So Ben mentioned just little things that we saw the Lord do along the way, and there were things like just little evidences of God's hand working through small things, and then also just huge and miraculous things like just the salvation of people coming to know the Lord. I'll tell you this before we jump into the Word this morning. This is something just crazy that happened yesterday on the way home. And it just blows my mind how the Lord works. But on the way home, we were on the flight, and there was a lady who sat right next to me, and she was from Rwanda, had never flown before, never been to an airport before, and she was super nervous. And she was about in her 60s or 70s, and she was flying to the U.S. to meet her daughter who lives here, and so. She was trying to find somebody to help her because she didn't know what to do next, and so I saw another lady that was trying to. It was from Uganda, but they didn't speak the exact same language. So, like, through sort of a tribal language, she's trying to communicate with her, and come to find out, I'm just sort of watching, and I look over and I see that her flight numbers are the same as our flight numbers, and so she was going to be on the same flight from Uganda to Brussels, and then the same flight from Brussels to the U.S. And so I leaned over to the other lady. I just said, "Hey, she's on my same flights, like all the way through. So I'll just let her hang out with us, and I'll try to help her get there. So would you try to let her know that?" And she tried to tell her, but she didn't exactly. Again, it was like this whole time that we're looking at each other, and I'm trying to tell her I'm with you. I'm going to help you. And she would just kind of like smile at me and didn't know what. But she didn't even. I was telling Danielle she didn't have a carry on. She had a purse. And she just sat there like this the entire time. She didn't eat. She didn't watch a movie. She just sat there like this the entire time. And so she was super precious, but she didn't know what in the world. Like, she was so scared. She didn't know what to expect, what to do next. So she walked with us in the, we tracked through the Brussels airport, got her through security, got her everywhere. You know, she just hung out, followed along with us. No words spoken, just hanging out together. Finally, she shows me her phone, and she points to it, and she says, "Daughter." And so I was like, oh, this is your daughter. And so I was able to get a hold of her daughter in the States, and she told me, yes, my mom is terrified. She doesn't know what she's doing. In fact, I'm surprised she's even made it this far. And, like, so thank you for being willing to, you know, to help her. And I said, no problem. And so we So we work our way through. I call her when we landed in the U.S. because we still have to go through customs and everything. And I call her sister. I said, hey, listen, I'm going to give the phone to your mom and just tell her I'm going to do my very best to get her through customs. But at some point, she's continuing on, and I'm stopping here with our team. So there's going to be a point where I have to leave her, and I won't be able to take her anywhere any further. So she tells her mom. She said, thank you so much for what you've done. It's, you know, hopefully she'll be able to make it the rest of the way. So we are in Dulles, and this is last night. We're getting on the tram to go to the next, to go to the customs, and there's a guy sitting there. There's a couple other people that were from Africa as well, and they were talking. They were from, like, Liberia, and there was this guy who was just sitting there, and I said, and I could tell by his accent, I said hello to him. I said, you're from Africa? And he said, yeah, and I said, can I ask which country? And he said, I'm from Rwanda. And I was like, oh my goodness, you're from Rwanda. I was like, this woman is from Rwanda. I said, where are you headed next? He's like, well, I'm gonna go through customs and make a connecting flight. And I was like, oh man. And so I was like, hey, do you think you could buy? And he said, I would love to. So I sat him down beside her and they began talking and she just lit up because finally somebody spoke her language. But out of all the, there was 11,000 people that went through the airport yesterday, I heard, from in Dulles. There was one person who was from Rwanda who happened to be standing right there beside her and was able to take her and walk her through. Anyway, so I started talking to him, and he said, hey, what do you do? I said, well, I'm a pastor in the U.S. And so he told the lady, and she just lit up, and she said, you know what? I could tell you were a pastor. And so we were able just to kind of, she gave me a big hug, and we were able to help her get to the next place and told her daughter. So I hope she's there. I think she's there. I think she made it home. I can't give you the end of that testimony, but it was neat. Again, it's something small, but it's the Lord just saying, hey, I'm working in these little small ways. So he works in the little details, and then he also works in the big ones. So if you got your Bibles this morning, would you love for you to turn with me to Psalm 67? Psalm 67. We're gonna walk through this passage, and then I just some more things I would love to share with you about our trip as we go along. So Psalm 67, and let's just read this together. You follow along as I read. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, Selah, that your way may be known on the earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the peoples with equity, and you guide the nations upon the earth. Selah. Let all the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this song that you've inspired, a song that tells of your heart for every people group in every nation, every tongue and tribe, every single person on earth. We thank you, Lord, for your saving work, your saving grace, how you have called us and adopted us and then set us on mission for you. So Lord, as we take a few moments just to meditate on your word, would you take your word and would you plant it in our hearts? And that then it would bear fruit in our lives. It would bear fruit in that would be seen by our family. It would be seen by our neighbors. It would be seen by the nations. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so this is a song for the nations. We're going to see God's heart for the world as we walk through here. Verse 1, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. This is actually a quote from Numbers chapter 6. It was a prayer that was to be prayed as a blessing. It was a priestly prayer that was prayed over the people of Israel. Numbers 6, 24 through 26 says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So it was a prayer that they would have known. So as soon as they would have read this song and began singing it, it would have brought them all the way back to the beginning, or taken them back and taken their hearts, their back down, back to the faithfulness of God, to the favor of God, to the loving kindness of God. It would have taken their minds there. So as we read then, our minds need to go back there as well, is to take us back to Yahweh, the faithful, covenant-keeping God. He's the one that we sing to, he's the one that we praise, and he's the one that we reflect on in this passage. So he says, may the Lord be gracious and bless us. So here's my, as I'm reading this text, as we're thinking through it, I began to ask myself the question, okay, how has the Lord been gracious to me? So I would encourage you too, just to meditate on that. Think about that. When's the last time you just paused to say, you know, to think about the ways that God's been gracious to you? In which ways has he lavished his love and his grace and his loving kindness on you? Well, hopefully our hearts would then begin to respond in answers of the salvation of the Lord that we didn't deserve. The day upon day of his provision and his mercy that he's showered upon us. So has the Lord been gracious to us? Of course, he's been gracious to us. In countless ways, he's been gracious. And may he bless us. How many times have you paused to say, just to count the blessings that God has placed in your life, the way that he has blessed you and your family, your loved ones, where you're at today? Has the Lord blessed us? Yeah, and the answer is yes, he has. And make his face shine upon us. We talked about this a few weeks ago before we left about when the scripture speaks of the Lord's face shining upon us, it's speaking of his favor, of his presence. And so we talked about how we need to rest in the presence of the Lord, and that when he shines his face, it's his approval, it's his favor, as opposed to when God hides his face, which is a sign of his disapproval. And so we long to see the face of God. And so this song is contemplating, and it's on the grace of God, the blessings of God, the desire to see God's face shine on us. In Genesis 12, we've talked about this quite a bit, about God's covenant with his people, the Abrahamic covenant. In Genesis chapter 12, God reveals to Abram and says, I will bless you and I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing to others. And in you, or through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, right? And then when we walk through Acts, we talked about how the fulfillment of that was Jesus. Jesus is that blessing. Jesus is the promised one who would come, who came, and all the nations of the earth are now blessed and can be saved through him. So this is a reflection on the goodness, the grace, the mercy of God. Now I say that to set this up, because this next part is huge. So please don't miss this next part. So may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. Verse 2, so that. All right, so whenever you see that, you should pause and say, okay, this is a purpose statement. What is it? So what's the purpose for the blessing? What's the purpose for the grace of God? What is it that God is doing and desires to do as a result of that? It's not just a blessing so that I can say, oh man, I'm so blessed. It's not a blessing so that I can walk around and say, man, I am so highly favored. No, it's, what does it say? So that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. So what then is the purpose? The purpose of this, the purpose of the saving work of God, the purpose of the blessings that we receive is so that God then can funnel that through us, and so that his glory can be declared through that. So the blessing doesn't stop with us, it gets propelled from us, right? So then missions comes as an overflow of lives that have been changed by the grace of God. So the reason that we go, the reason that we share, the reason that we stop with someone who's on the road, the reason that we share with our neighbors is an overflow of what God has already done in our lives. It's not this like obligatory, well, I mean, Jesus said, Great Commission is to go, so I should probably go. No, it should be a heart overflowing with gratitude and praise to the Lord that shouts forth from our lives. And then other people get a chance to see it. So missions comes from an overflow of a heart that's been changed by God. That your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. One way in Uganda that people show honor for people is they give gifts. And so you guys remember last year when we went to that church and we went back with a chicken. I don't know if you guys remember that story from last year. And we had this big old chicken. They just like, hey, this is your gift for coming to visit our church. And it was like a great honor to receive that. And so we took it back to the guest house, and it was a loud chicken. It was loud. And he didn't know how to tell time because he was crowing at, you know, before the crack of dawn, like 3 and 4 in the morning. And then eventually, one day, he just stopped. And we had chicken that night. And it was really good. So this year, we get there, and we're at the church, and we go home with another chicken. They bring us a chicken. Come to find out, Ben's terrified of chickens. So... And they just throw him in the car with us, and he's like, it's in here? Like, it's in the van with us. And I'm like, yeah, dude, it's under your feet, like, right now. Yeah, he screamed, and it was really fun. It was fun. But one way that they show honor is by giving gifts. We went to this one house with a lady, and she asked us to come so we could pray over her home. And she said, so she had laid out, now granted, Uganda's in sort of a drought right now. Northern Uganda's in a severe drought. Where we were, it's not as severe, but there's still a drought going around. And so she said, would you please come and pray over our home? And we got there, and she was so proud. She lived in a mud hut with a rusty tin roof. And she was so proud of the blessings that God had given to her. And she had a bunch of corn laying there. And she said, I want to... So we prayed for her, and she just began to tell stories of God's blessing in her life. And she gave each of us a piece of corn and said, through an interpreter, God has blessed me, so I want to bless you. And she just began to, you know, to give us these pieces of corn. And it was her way of telling and bearing, giving testimony. God has been gracious to me. God has blessed me above and abundantly, and so I want to transfer that. I don't want the blessing to stop with me. I want it to continue to you. As I left that house, I was humbled because, one, I forget so easy the blessings that I've been given. I mean, here she is living in a mud hut with a rusty tin roof, and all she can do is sing the praises of God. All she can do is recount the faithfulness of God and the blessings of God. And so she says, hey, look at all the crops that I have. Like, look at what God has blessed me with. And here I leave, I walk away, and I'm like, Lord Jesus, I go home, and I forget every single day your goodness. I forget every single day what you have done. This is a song that to remind us to remember. Like, don't forget. Don't forget what God's blessing what God has done for you. It's like we see in Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Let me say it again. Forget not all his benefits, who forgives your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Don't forget the goodness and the faithfulness of God. And so we need to wake up and say, Lord, remind me today. Like, would you remind my heart today? Because when the things in this life, they're going to cause me and try to turn me away from what you have done and cause my mind to focus on other things. But don't let me forget. Don't let me forget what you have done. So every time I go on these trips, it's another reminder for me. It's another way just for the Lord to bring my heart back to him and say, man, Jared, look what don't forget. Don't forget how I've blessed. Don't forget what I've done. And then the psalmist says that this should then come out of our life so that other people may see, so that other people might hear. You know, in the Old Testament, there was a phrase that was repeated all the time, and it was that, so that they might know. So, like, God would reveal his power to redeem Israel so that the other nations might see that there is one true God, and everybody else that's following something that is false, that they might see and believe in the power of God. So then our lives, then, we have opportunity every single day to bear witness, to not let the blessings stop with us, but to be propelled out of us, so that others might see and we could shine the light. Similar to what Jesus said in Matthew 5, he said, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they might see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. The end is the glory of God throughout the earth. The glory of God among the nations. So let all the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Verse 4, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the peoples with equity or righteousness. And you guide the nations upon the earth. Selah. So there's a pause for us to reflect again on this concept, reflect again on what God has done and what he desires to do. One thing you'll see in this few verses, there's 7 verses, and 10 different times we see references to the nations, to all peoples, to all nations, throughout all the earth. What do we see? That God has a heart for the nations, and he always has. You guys remember when we were walking through Acts, and we talked about how When Peter received the vision and finally it sunk in and realized that God shows no partiality, right? We talked about that here, that God has always had in his plan to save the entire world through Jesus, and that all would have an opportunity to turn, to repent, to believe the gospel. That was always God's plan. Now, in the Old Testament, we realized that it wasn't fully realized yet. Like, that, you know, there wasn't this full you know, soteriological, there wasn't this full, like, understanding of the salvation of God from beginning to end. And yet we see that the heart of God is there from the beginning for every single people group, every single nation. So it says all the earth, all nations, all people. God shows no partiality. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. Doesn't matter the nation that you come from. Doesn't matter the village that you grew up in. And so when we go to places like this, like, that's the message that we carry, is that, one, God loves you. God desires to have a relationship with you, so much so that he has sent us here. It's not an accident that we're here today. It's not an accident that we're in your little village. It's not an accident that we just happen to roll up right here carrying the good news of Jesus. And so we get a chance to do that, and it's an incredible, humbling opportunity. One thing we did this week, we shared the gospel in schools in the public schools there. There's a couple places that you can't do that here, right? We are amazed every time we go to Brazil and how they have created opportunities to go speak before the public schools, and it's incredible because openly we can share the gospel. Same thing in Uganda, just different cultures, and they look a little bit different, but the opportunities are still there for us to open the Bible with kids, with high school students, and share the message of Jesus. And it was so cool to be able to see Cameron and and Ben and others as they got to just share the gospel of Jesus openly with people. And then to see them respond, to see them respond to the gospel. Some of them hearing it maybe for the first time, others maybe have heard it before, but the Holy Spirit working in their heart, drawing them to Him, and then responding by faith in the gospel. There was one day specifically where they were sharing, and I think it was Ben who'd just said, "Hey, I want to ask you, this is a bunch of high school kids, that if you would like to follow Jesus today, like you're saying that I'm believing in the gospel and I want to be a follower of Jesus." And I didn't know what Ben was going to do, but he said, "I just want to ask if you would just stand and come up here so I can pray for you." And then everybody just stood there for a minute. And then there was, I believe, one girl in the back. She came to the front. And then there was another guy over here. And then before long, there was a small group of people that stood in front of their entire school. And they came forward and they said, "Yes, I believe. I want to turn from my sin today and trust and follow Jesus." And I got a picture of that. I don't know if we have it or not, but it was a picture of them all gathered together where they could pray. And then we had a follow-up team that began the very next day to start a Bible study with them and a follow-up with them. We were providing Bibles for these kids. But it was like we got to see firsthand the gospel come to life in a bunch of high schoolers who then had the boldness to stand before their entire school to say, "Yes, I want to follow Jesus." This week, there were more than 850 people who publicly confessed that they were placing their faith in Christ this week. 850 plus people. And I tell you, like, now listen, I don't know, only God knows the heart. And so I can't look at that number and say, you know, that every single person, you know, that this person was legitimate and they were serious. I don't know that. But that's actually not my job anyway, to know the heart. That's the Lord. The Lord knows the hearts. But I can tell you, for so many of them, looking at them face to face as we had conversations, that when we went into that time with them, when we went into to share with them, they left with a joy that wasn't there when we got there. I mean, they left with just the overwhelming presence of the Lord. Because the Lord changes hearts. And there was a sense of joy that just shone off of their face. And it makes me think, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. That's the heartbeat of God, that every single person would have the opportunity to place their faith in Jesus and be changed by the power of the gospel. And so we have our team there now that's following up with every single one of those people. Who said that they wanted to trust and follow Jesus. And so it's just a number like that, I think, is really hard for us to comprehend, because we can share the gospel here for time and time and time again. And we can hear the gospel again, again, and again, and again, and never see a response. And yet there are so many places around the world where they're responding. Like, the Holy Spirit's been working, and all we have to do is share a clear message of the gospel, that Jesus Christ, that God Himself stepped down in the form of a human, and that He took on human flesh, and that He lived a sinless, perfect life, that He died on the cross bearing the sin of the world, and that when He went to the cross, He didn't die for His own sins, that He bared the payment, the penalty of sin on the cross on Himself, and that He was buried, and that He rose again on the third day, conquering sin, death, and hell, and that all salvation is available through Him and Him alone. And we share the message, and eyes are opened, and they say, "Yes, I want that. That's what I want." And I'll never get tired of seeing lives that are changed by the gospel. So to be honest, like, this morning, coming off of a trip like this, it's like I'm exhausted. Like, I'm absolutely exhausted, spiritually, emotionally, physically. I think it's a combination of the one, just leading people and make sure the team is good, but then also just carrying the weight of the need that you see that's there. And the need is unending, and we can't meet all the need. And so it's hard when you know, you have people that are coming and they're saying, hey, I need help with this. And they do. They need help with that. And somebody else says, hey, I need help with this. And they do. And the needs are legitimate, but we can't meet them all. And so when we go to like the villages, we would bring some bags of food for them. And we would give them, we would explain, like, this is going to feed your family for probably a month. And we just want to tell you that we love you. We want to tell you that God sees you. And we use it as a way to just sit down and have a conversation with this sweet family and then share with them the gospel. We know that the food's going to run out, right? Like, we do. We know that, yeah, we might give the little kid a little sucker, and it brings a smile for a minute, but that's fading. That goes away too, and that doesn't ultimately last. So the only thing that I can offer that doesn't expire, that never runs out, is the life-changing message of Jesus. And so we go with Jesus and we say, hey, like, I can't meet every single need, but I know the one who can. And so can I share with you how you can come to know Jesus? Can I share with you the person who has changed my life? There was one day we were out in one of the villages. We were doing this house to house. We encountered a man. We were in this big area that it was a sugarcane fields. And a lot of the people there were, it was one of the poorest places that I've seen. And they lived and worked there in the amongst all the sugarcane fields. And we worked our way back into the fields, and we were, you know, just, you literally, you walk through, like, you can't even see where you're going. And then all of a sudden there was a clearing, and you'd see a little house, a little small house where somebody lived there. And so we came across this one place, and there was a man. He lived by himself. He was about 30 years old. He worked amongst the sugarcane fields, and he had this little, small house. In fact, I think I've got a picture of it. This is him. That's his house behind him, and he lived and worked. He owned one shirt, one pair of clothing, and he would go and he would work, and he would come home. We began talking with him, and I found out through, you know, that one of the questions that I ask is, where do you pray? That's a way of saying, do you go to church anywhere? Are you connected with a local body of believers? And they say, where do you pray? And so I said, well, you know, where do you pray? And he said, I don't, through an interpreter, I don't pray. And we said, okay, well, we are here. And we began to share with them why we came, gave them some of the gifts and things that we gave to them. And as we began to share the gospel with them, we asked them, have you ever heard this before? Have you ever heard of Jesus? And he said, I've never heard of Jesus before. We sat down, we spent about 20 or 30 minutes with him and just opened up the Bible and just began to share the message of Jesus. And so said, so you've never heard this? He said, I've never heard of Jesus, but I want him. But I want him. And the Holy Spirit opened up his eyes to see his sin, to understand his separation from God. And he was saved. As we were about to leave, I felt like the Lord was telling me to give him my shirt. Because he didn't, that's all he had. And I kind of made excuses because I only had one shirt on. I can't walk to the villages without my shirt on. That would be funny, seeing a Mzungu. By the way, Mzungu is white man. And they all, when they see you, they say Mzungu. They're just saying, hey, white dude, come here. If I had taken my shirt off, I'd have been really white, and that nobody wants that. So I was telling the Lord, like, I know he needs a shirt, but I don't have another one. And then I looked over at my interpreter. I noticed that he had two shirts on. He had a little shirt that one of the team members had given him, and then he had a polo shirt on underneath. And it was another small way where the Lord said, see, I've made provisions for you. Give him your shirt. And so I was able to give him a shirt, and I folded it up and I gave it to him. And he had already trusted and received Jesus, and he received it. He received the food, and then he just smiled. And it was like this again. We didn't speak the same language, but it was like him just saying, it was just the joy of the Lord that was radiating off of him. And he had been given a new life in Christ. And he was starting a new journey of faith, and he had a new shirt to put on. And it was just a sweet, precious moment saying, Lord, thank you for letting me be a part of this. Like, thank you for letting me see what you're doing around the world. Thank you for letting me, like, not letting the blessing stop with me, but letting it just continue out into the life of others. And that's what the Lord wants to do with all of us. That the blessing of God doesn't stop with us. And so he says, let all the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. So the heartbeat of God is that every tongue, tribe, and nation would echo out the glory of God amongst all the earth. And we have an opportunity to be just a small part of that. And let the glory of God shine through our lives. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I thank you for the opportunity to see what you're doing around the world. And it's not just around the world, it's right here. And I know, Lord, that you desire for us to sing and shout your praise and declare your blessings, especially the blessing of Christ to others. So, Lord, I pray that this church, that Hope Valley Church, would be a light that shines out your glory among the nations. Lord, that we wouldn't just be like glory stealers or glory absorbers, but that it would radiate out from us. And that when people see our lives, they would say there's something different about that. And that we would have opportunity, Lord, to share, even now, today, this week, this summer, to share your glory with others around us, to share your glorious gospel. I thank you, Lord, for the lives that were changed in Uganda. I pray now, Lord, for our ministry team there that's now beginning Bible study and discipleship and follow-up, that you would walk with them. Lord, that the seeds that were sown would take root. Lord, that Satan wouldn't come and try to steal away or pluck away. And then by the power of your Holy Spirit would bear fruit in their life. Or would you burden our hearts, one, for your glory, and then one, that all people might know you? We know it's your desire that every single person would repent and believe in the gospel. Your heart is that none would perish and that all would come to repentance. So, Lord, would your heart be our heart? And Lord, I pray that if there's somebody here right now, maybe they're listening, maybe they're here in the room, and maybe there's never been that moment in their life where they have trusted in you alone for salvation, that today would be the day that they cry out to you and say, oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And that today would be the day of salvation for them. And I pray for every heart, every hurting heart, every broken heart would find its healing in you. Lord, that you would give us a desire to go, to share. Give us boldness to proclaim your truth with our neighbors. Let it shine out of us. Let others see a difference. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to invite you to stand. We're going to sing together. Would you have a moment just to pray? If you want to come and you want to pray and kneel right here, maybe you want to pray on behalf of the nations. You just want to pray for a specific place, specific people. Maybe you want to pray for somebody in your family, but God's burden in your heart, there's somebody who's far from him, and they need to be saved, and you want to pray for them, intercede for them. I invite you to do that. Maybe you're here this morning and you'd say, I have questions about all of this. I'm not sure where I am, but I have questions and I'd like to talk about that. And I would love to talk. I'll be right here and I'm available. You're welcome to come and we could talk about how you could begin a new life in Christ today. Would you stand to your feet? Let's sing together.